If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'll say again, I told your Sunday school teacher he did a great job. I thought he was in my window chamber this morning while I was studying. I appreciate it. He did a great job. Got a good Sunday school here. I'll put a plug in there. You ought to come support him. Amen. I thought he did a great job. I lost about half of you right there. Y'all still here, ain't you? I heard one preacher say one time, he said, "I know you out there, I hear you breathe." And the quieter you are, the more nervous I get, the longer I preach. But y'all are off tonight, so that doesn't matter, does it? Huh? And I told Brother Gary, asked him this morning, I said, "What time is it?" He said, "I don't know. My watch was broke." I said, "Well, my battery quit. We're both in trouble." But then he pulled his cell phone out. Amen. I'm glad you saved.
Amen.
Know that you saved.
Amen.
You ought to be the happiest people in the world this morning. I know we all face storms, we all face heartaches, we all have troubles and issues, but we have a Father. We have a Father this morning that cares this morning. Amen. Can I stop here? I'm going to give reset. Can I shout a little bit? The reason I'm a little happy this morning, you know, yesterday was my birthday in the Lord, 21 years ago. I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and made peace with God. So I'm a little bit more excited about the songs this morning, a little bit more excited. One year ago, I hadn't been perfect. I've come short of the glory of God, but He's been perfect. He's been a heavenly Father. Amen. Ain't God good this morning? I don't know about you. I hope you'll kick the brakes off. Let's worship God just for a few moments. Amen. But let's look at that one verse, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I want you to look at verse 15 for the sake of time. Verse 15. "For ye have not received," Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "for ye have not received the bondage," or the spirit of bondage, or slavery, "again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Brother Jonathan, will you turn and thanks for the reading of God's Word? Amen. You can be seated if you can. I want to say here, this verse really spoke to my heart this week. And you know that one word that sticks out to me is that word Abba. And that's a word that if you define or look it up, it's a term for a father, but it's an intimate term. It's a term of God wants a special relationship with you. And we know as a creation, as a whole, that God is the Father of the universe. But there is a big difference between knowing God of creation and a God of relationship. Amen. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. God will be my helper. And take this chapter and break it down. God will help me through verse through 18. I want to preach on, I have a Father. I have a Father. Now, I, Brother Atkins, actually I wanted to say something else. I told a brother we work with, or an individual we work with, I told him I was going to preach on, if he came this morning, I was going to preach on, who's your daddy? Now, I could just see some stubbed up noses Baptist come up to him. I can't believe that you would not reverence him as a Father. Now understand that. But when you get past that God is our Father, and you get in that relationship with God, and you realize He's your daddy, and you can cast all your cares upon you, and He cares, it don't matter how small it is, how big it is, God cares for you this morning. And I'm going to show you how much He cares. Number one, look at the first four verses. How can I have a relationship with His Father? Or how can I know the Father? Because before we get into the Scriptures, you've got to realize, yes, you can think in your mind that there is a God and there is a Father. It's a term that's used. Jesus used the word Father over 150 times. But you've got to think, though, you know, when you're growing up and you're taught Sunday school, or you have a thought about God, and we want to say that, yes, God is the Father of us all. But until you come into that personal relationship, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. Because at the age of 19, like I said, I've been taught about God. I knew He was the Father. I knew He had a Son. But until I knew Him in my own personal way through these Scriptures that I'm going to show you and teach you, You don't really know. You're blind. You're in darkness. I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, if the gospel be hid or the good news be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I didn't know him. And I was sitting here thinking, Brother Atkins, this morning as I was seeing the people rejoice and shout and praise him and thank him. Brother Jonathan, you know what I thought? There was a time in my life I couldn't do that. There was a time in my life I would scratch my head and say, why do they do that? Why do they run the aisle? Why do they rejoice? Why do they shout, give God glory? It's because they know Him as Daddy. Hallelujah this morning. And my prayer, my desire is what I want to accomplish this morning through the help of the Lord with this message is, number one, if you're a Christian, I want to show you the benefit package you got. Just sitting on a pew, there's more to this thing than being a Christian. Psalms 103 or Psalms 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord with all my heart, lean not to our, yes, with all my soul, with all my, and forget not all of His benefits. There's benefits of being a Christian more than just getting you fire insurance or fire insurance. There's more to it. God actually can put a smile on your face. God actually cares for you. God loves you this morning. And I'm going to show you, if I can calm down for a minute. Notice, look here at verse 1, Romans chapter 8. Therefore, now, no more, no condemnation. Notice this word, therefore. He's talking about the preceding chapter. Paul was talking about the law and how that the law was righteous and he was holy and he did his best to be a Pharisee of a Pharisees and he walked the walk in Philippians chapter 3 if you read his autobiography about Paul. But he realized one thing. No matter how good I was on the outside and I looked good and I wore the tie and I walked the walk, but on inside, I was still full of sin. It still would slew me. No matter how good I would do evil. And no matter how evil I would do, I would want to do good. But I couldn't. But now he's talking after this. Look what's happened. He said, therefore there now no more condemnation. And that word condemnation there means judgment or a damnatory sentence. Did you know that if you're not saved this morning, you're on death row? You're a dead man walking. And David said, there's but a step between me and death. That's how serious it is. I want to share this story with you. 2 weeks ago, my brother-in-law's father had a massive illness, a sickness that came upon him. And months before, I tried to go talk to him and say, listen, you need to make things right. And he had some medical issues and some, I'm not going to go into the great details, but while I was in the hospital, he really wasn't coherent, really didn't talk much to me. And I tried my best to lead him to the Lord. I did my best. But I felt like I left there a failure. And weeks later, he got better, got out of the hospital. And his son, my brother-in-law, was trying to get go to church. He said, I don't need none of that stuff. I don't have nothing to do with that stuff. Well, 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday, I believe it was late in the night, he calls his family and says, I believe something's wrong. Something's not right. Take me to the hospital. And in those hours going to the hospital or on the way, he starts crying out to God and asking for a Baptist preacher to come help me, come help me. And next thing you know, he's unconscious. And he's there for the next 2 weeks laying as a vegetable, praying and begging. And Friday night, we had his funeral. That's how life can change in a moment. James says, what is your life? But a vapor that appeared for a little time, then vanishes awake. Or vanishes away. Can you think about this for a moment? Let me give you an example of what that really is. Next time you open up a Coke or a Pepsi, that little vapor comes out just for a second. Then it's gone. But I can give you a good report. I'm glad I don't have to be negative on that. Amen. At least I give you a good report. The family told me that sometime during all this that it came to and they heard him call out to Jesus after this massive stroke. And they have peace that he'd made it right with God. But you might not have the opportunity this morning. That's how it's important to know. But look here, you've got a sentence over you because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. It don't matter from Hollywood to the White House, from wherever to wherever. If you are born again or you live in this life or you're got walking legs and you can talk and breathe, you have to come to realize you need Jesus. You need a relationship with the Father. Look here, look what it says. Therefore now no condemnation to them that are in. How can I know the Father? I got to go through the Son. If somebody tries to say that they believe in God and they don't go through Jesus, no, 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 no. You've got a religion, but you ain't got a relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 14 at verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father except by me. Not only did he say that, he said in the next verse, in verse 7 of John 14, 7, he said, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye shall know him, and ye have seen him. And like I said, when I came to Christ at the age of 19, February 3rd, 1997, I realized, number one, there was a God. Number two, that there was a Savior that loved me and He wanted to have a relationship with me. And He really did love me. Romans 5, 8 says, but God commended or demonstrated, showed His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, oh my goodness, the devil had lied to me all these years. Oh, you get in this religion or you get in this church, or you'll hate this life, you'll think it's awful. No, no, no. Not only because I get to go to heaven, but He walked with me and He talks with me. He calls me His very own. You got to be born again. That's how you get the relationship with Jesus. You got to be born again. John 8, 36 says, if therefore the Son make you free, you're free indeed. And that word indeed means truly. Amen. You don't have to testify. You know in your heart. Was you truly set free when you got born again? Was you set free? No, no, no. I'm not saying emotionalism. I'm not saying, no, I didn't shout. They wasn't fireworks. They wasn't nobody in heaven knew. Or nobody on this earth, but heaven knew that I had gotten saved. Because I remember there sitting on the pew. You may know, you may not, Brother Les Ketchum, the pastor of Central Baptist Church of Abington. I remember I gave my life to Christ that morning, just like this morning. The songs of Zion and what they were preaching or singing. And God broke me down like a shotgun and said, I need a relationship with the Father. I went all these years and I've been in church, I've been raised right, been taught right, but I need a relationship with Jesus. Because I'm a sinner. And God had showed me my sin. I got right with God. And I gave my life to Christ. I'll never forget what I preached that day. Jeremiah 18. The potter and the clay. And he said, come. I mean, I've read the Bible. I've read my Bible the whole time. I've been raised right. I'd read John 3:16. This don't mean nothing to me. But after you get His Spirit, after you get His eyes, after you get His love, for God so loved me. For God so loved me. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, that's me, would believe in Him shall have everlasting life and not perish. My God, that ought to be a touchdown for somebody. Woo! Glory, I'll shout for all of you. Huh? Heaven bound with a hammer down. Redeemed, pardoned, sanctified. Hey, you know what Christ does for you? You know what four things He does for you? He identifies you. I belong to Him. He justifies me. I'm righteous in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Therefore God hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we, the church that are saved, might be the righteousness of God in Him. Woo! I'm identified. I'm justified. Then I'm sanctified. I'm set apart for the master use. Not because of my righteousness, no, but what He's done. And lastly, here's the good one. I'm waiting to be glorified. Huh? What's that mean? He's a coming again. He's going to get His bride. And He's going to give us a new body. 1 John 3, I believe it is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Woo! Huh? I hope to shout, won't I? Do you have that relationship this morning? Do you have it? No more condemnation. The brother taught in Sunday school when he said that about the wrath of God. Look at Romans 5, 9. He said, much more then, being justified by His blood, Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. The wrath of God's coming. The wrath of God's coming. People don't want to hear that no more. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. But in my notes after I wrote that Romans 5, 9 down, I put glory. Glory. Woo! When the rocks are crying out, hide me from the one that sat upon the throne, Revelation said, hide me, and they'll run to the rocks and the mountains fall upon us. I'm glad I'll be in the rock and I'm ready to roll. Woo! Bless His good name. Huh? My goodness. Ain't God good? Huh? Notice, I'm trying to hurry. Look here. Look here. To them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, notice, the law of the Spirit of life, for the Holy Ghost in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Free! Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God, I thought we sin for free. It won't cost you a dime. If you really want to live the free life in Jesus, John chapter 8, verses 1, 31, 32, and Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on Him, continue. Got to keep going on. Keep on keeping on. Continue my word and my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Four things that if you're free in Jesus, you've got His forgiveness. You've got His forgiveness. You've got to have that. Number two, you got to release and let go. If you want to be free, you can't hold your past. If it's under the blood, forget about it. Just because that old Baptist comes up to you, oh, you're this or you that, you might be right, but it's covered. Huh? It's covered. You got to let it go. How many times in your life did God want to use you? And I'll say, oh, me right there, forgive me, God. God wants to use you, make you, mold you, and you won't let go of the past. You got to let it go. If you want to learn to live free. Not only that, number of the letter E, He equips us. He gives us tools. He gives us pastors, preachers, teachers. You got to get in there and you got to listen to them. If they're God called, God qualified, and God's got His hand upon them, listen to them. They're walking with God. That's why I believe it's in Ephesians. It talks about to equip the saints, or that helps us to take the next level. And I believe it's over in Psalm 63 or 36. And the last one, the letter, if you want to live free, you got to have an expectation of God. I'm the world's worst. Hey, we've been this thing 21 years, but I don't always come to church expecting God to do something. I don't always yeah, I'm a Christian. What happened? I lost my expectation, brother. I lost my hope. We've all been there. But if you want to learn to live free, realize you have a Father. A Father. Not only you got to be born again. Notice here, let's read verses 3 and 4. For the law was what it could not do. Look, it was weak through the flesh. God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He became man. But He was God's man. That virgin birth, that deity, that holiness. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Hollywood says. He was holy. He was deity. And God put a firebolt in my heart. He said, you tell Him this morning, look at that next thing. He wasn't sin. He came for sin. So when Hollywood or these liberal people try to make Jesus like us, like He was an alcoholic or an adulteress, blasphemy. Blasphemy. He came for sin. He didn't come to sin. My goodness, I'm hard to feel that. He was holy. We were the ones that were ungodly. He's holy. I'm unworthy. But Him being worthy made me, I'm unworthy. He made me worthy. Huh? He came for sin. I believe Timothy said He was the ransom. He paid our debt. He paid our debt. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness, or the account of the righteous law, might be fulfilled in us. Jesus fulfilled it, and when He went to the cross and He died, He said, it's finished. Amen. And I wanted to share this with you. Too many people today are trying to live under law and grace. They don't mix, church. They don't mix. You're going to be miserable. You're going, you say, what do you mean, preacher? Do away with the law? No! If you're to do like these verses says, let the Spirit of God lead you, guide you, and direct you, you're not going to go against it. Amen? You know a lot of people, what, the Ten Commandments, yes, they're good. They're God's laws, they're principles, and there's things we should live by. But you know there's more than 10. Over 700 to 1,000, I believe, somewhere in between there. And if you break one of them, you're guilty of all of them. So how much more is Jesus precious, Brother Aaron? Every one of them He fulfilled. And when He went to Calvary, He said, it's finished. Father, into Thy hands I commend Thy Spirit. My goodness. Y'all seeing this? I feel like you are. Huh? Emily, that's why I enjoy you singing, because it's finished. Huh? Anointed. Because look at verse 5. Verse 5. For they that are in the flesh, or they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. There's another one of them lightning bolts. That's why you can't get along with people's loss. That's why they can't see the way you see and talk the way you talk. I had an individual tell me this week, he said, it's always about Jesus with you, ain't it? How do you respond to that? Set your affections on things above and on this earth.
Yeah.
And it's really hard with coworkers. You love them to death. You want to see them saved. But that's all I know. I don't want to be too heavenly minded. I'm no earthly good, but I don't want to be too earthly minded. I'm no heavenly good. Huh? And I love them with all my heart, but we can't relate. Light and dark don't mix.
That's right.
What do you mean, preacher? Yes, I talk about ball. I talk about fishing. I talk about hunting. But when I start talking about the gospel, they don't want nothing about it. If I start talking about the world, the worldly things, the drinking, the partying, doing things you ought not be doing, and I'm sitting here going, no, 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 no. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Then they don't have no fellowship with me. But it's always about the gospel with you, ain't it? It's because I have a Father. And if you had that Father, you'd be linking up with me. I'm going to show it to you. I believe half these Baptists got mad at me. Security?
Come on.
Just kidding. But notice, look here, because verse 6, for to be carnally minded, that fleshly man, the natural man, is death. But look, the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's rebellion against God. For it's neither subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Before salvation, it don't matter how good you try to be, how much you try to turn over a new leaf, try to make a new resolution, it will not last.
Amen.
Until you come into the right relationship with God through the blood of Jesus, will not know His Father. Huh? Because by no means would I ever want someone to doubt their salvation. I want you to know you're saved, born again, ready to meet them. But I got to say this, when I was a 10-year-old boy, preacher preached on hell. Nobody wants to go to hell this morning. Nobody. I remember as a child, we were filtering out and out of fear. I said, Mom, I won't be saved. And I came to an altar. And I tried to pray. And you can believe me whether you want to or not, but inside, the Spirit of God says, you're not ready. You're not ready. So what do you mean, preacher? You've got to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because 2 weeks later, I was still the same old person. I tried to quit saying things I shouldn't do. Tried to quit doing things I couldn't do. But I never had the change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So let me go to my next point. Look here. Verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot be please God. For God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Number 2, after you get the right relationship, you've got to take on His divine nature. Amen? So what are you talking about? No. I'm going to get to something. I know 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, according to His divine power, I didn't change myself. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got born again. His divine power hath He given to us, His children, all things that pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Whereby are we given exceedingly great and precious promises by these that you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Huh? I ain't never heard that, preacher. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's a change that takes place. How did you change yourself? You didn't. You got supernaturally born again. John 3:3 said, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That word born again, He's from above. Something took over. You can't explain it, but you know, with a shadow of doubt, I didn't know everything about salvation February 3rd, but I knew I'd been redeemed. I knew I'd met the Master. I knew that the Heavenly Father had said, that's mine now. Huh? I done feel it. Yeah. That old Adam nature's still there. I'm not stupid. He's still there. You slap me, he'll jump up. Huh? Right? He's still there. Kind of like this. Brother Mays Jackson told the story one time about a missionary who went to a foreign country. And he went and he preached to you know, some indigenous people or, you know, the people of that country. And the old king there got saved and born again. And he had left and come back after a few years. And he asked the king how his walk was with God and how his relationship with God. He looked at him, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like two dogs. He said, one black dog does everything that's wrong and not right. And he said, the other one, the white dog, is purity and everything that God says and wants to do right. And the old missionary looked at him and said, well, who wins? He said, the one that I feed the most. Hello? So it's up to you after you're saved if you want to live that old carnal life and be miserable, or you can walk with God and let the Spirit of God lead you and God use you and bless you. Because it's over in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can reap to the flesh corruption, or you can sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. Amen. Oh, it's a choice. It's a choice. And the only way you can do it is through Jesus Christ. And for time's sake, I want to skip. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, that's the only way. Do mortify or crucify the deeds that are the body, ye shall live. I believe Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith and the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Are you still with me? I'm about to come to a close. You got the night off, amen? Huh? I'm going to have to call the church I'm preaching at tonight. See what we're doing. Amen? Huh? I love the Lord, can you tell? I'm not perfect, neither are you. Huh? Notice some benefits. Number three, the benefits of sonship. Or being a child of God. Look here. For many are led or guided by the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost. They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage or slave to go back under to the sin curse, to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And if the children of God, then heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ. So if that we suffer with Him, we also be glorified together. Notice that, some benefits. Talking about that adoptions of sons, you know, in biblical times and Roman times, when a person was adopted into the family, that adoption was more concrete than the actual child, that was the birthright. They had more rights and they could not change. And once it was there, it was sealed. Did you hear me? It was sealed. Huh? Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit within us lets us know that we're His and we belong to Him? Amen. I rejoice in that fact this morning. Amen. Do you want to have a right relationship with God? Then walking with God, then knowing the benefits of God. That's awesome. That makes me rejoice. But I can't leave you hanging this morning. I got one more point and I'm coming to a close. On the opposite side of this, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't know the Heavenly Father. There's only one other father you can have. Over in John, I believe it's John 8:44, Jesus was talking to the Jews after this woman had been caught in the very act of adultery. He was talking to the Jews and the Pharisees. And they began to tell Him how that their seed was of Abraham, their father. Hey, this morning, I wouldn't trust in my Baptist background, my Methodist background, my Presbyterian, whatever you call yourself as a denomination. You better be trusting in the blood of Jesus. Because you can be religious and lost. Because He says, your father is of the devil. And you will do the lust thereof, or the desires. Because He said, from the beginning, he was a liar. Talking about Satan. So this morning, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you trusted Him? Have you given Him your all in all? Being a good person will not get you to heaven. And honestly, being a bad person won't get you to hell. What gets you to hell is rejecting Jesus. That's the only thing that will keep you out of heaven. It's saying no to the cross and the finished work of Calvary. Do you know Him this morning? You trust in Him? Can you say, I'm ready to go to meet my Father if He should call me? Because there's two judgments this morning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, therefore we, talking about the church, must appear before God or the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds of the body, whether they be good or bad. Then over Revelations, I believe it's chapter 20, 21, He said, I saw a great white throne stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was called the Book of Life. And whosoever's name was not found written therein was cast into the lake of fire and darkness that burneth forever and forever. I know that ain't popular, and that makes you feel uncomfortable. But either He'll be your Savior today, or He'll be your judge in eternity. Which one do you want Him to be this morning? He loves you this morning. He loves you so much He would pay your sin debt. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. He loved me a lot, didn't He? Like forever head to be bowed, never eye closed.